My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, y'all know what time it is?
Yes, sir.
It's time for the Coach's Show with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris.
The Coach's Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Dave Archer.
Welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the home of the Atlanta Falcons. And we've got our head football coach, Raheem Morris, with me here as we kind of evaluate what happened, maybe decompress a little bit from what happened on Sunday and get ready for the Eagles on Monday night. Big game on Monday night that everybody will be watching across the country. Ra, first of all, you know, when you begin to look at the tape, I know you had to evaluate them. You've probably seen it 10 times already. But sure. when you look at the tape, what kind of jumps out at you that you like, and then maybe some things you didn't like?
You know, when you look at the tape and find out what you like, you really play well in two phases. You had the ability to go out there and play really well on defense, getting a couple stops, a couple after turnovers, things of that nature. You play well on special teams. You're able to go out there, get a couple returns, do some really good things in the coverage units. You know, other than the guy making bomber field goals, you really play well in those two phases. But when you look at it and you have to make some corrections, it's going to come from an offensive standpoint. And how do you score more points to make sure that you're relevant at the end of this game so you can have a way to win this game? You know, we turned the ball over too much, got our quarterback hit too much, and we just got to play better all around as a unit and as a group. So really fired up how we started on defense, how we played on special teams, giving us a chance to stay in that game and win, keeping it a one-possession game. Now we got to find a way to win that thing on offense.
I think the superficial piece that comes into play, Raheem, is there was so much conversation about the quarterback, so much conversation about the weapons around him, and you got a little taste, you know, certainly in the game, but it looked like Kurt was uncomfortable in the game, and that's what Pittsburgh was trying to do. That's what you were trying to do to Justin Fields. How do you get him to find that comfort zone this Monday night against Philly?
You know, obviously it's all encompassing, right? It's us making a better plan. It's us protecting him better. It's us getting his timing, his footwork, and his rhythm all connected and let him go out there and play football the right way. We weren't able to do that. We never got in sync. We never got in balance. Started a thing with a great opening drive, finished the half with a nice drive down the end of the half, getting a touchdown. And then we came back from halftime. We couldn't get things going and rolling in the right direction. They got us off track, got into a couple second and longs. That led to a bunch of third and longs. And when you're in those situations, those are not ideal versus anybody, particularly a good defense like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When you look at some of the things that maybe stunted you a little bit, there were a couple of just kind of picky penalties that kind of created some problems for you, especially in the second half. You had the negative play on the opening drive where T.J. Watt makes a really, really nice play, knifes inside of McGarry, makes the tackle for loss, and it kind of puts you behind the chains. It seemed like there was kind of some nagging moments like that on offense. How do you overcome that type of stuff?
You know, first off, that's about T.J. Watt. He's going to make a few plays. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. He made the play in the opening drive to slow us down and put us in a longer situation to stop us and get us to a field goal at that point. We came back, hit a nice screen that really almost got in there. If we can get some of those things kind of blocked up a little bit better, a little bit longer, you got a chance to score, even with the great play that he made. But in the second half, when you get the setbacks from a really big-time run by Bijan that gets called back by a holding, you get a hands to the face on a crossing route that we threw to Kyle Pitts that gets called back for hands to the face on a rusher when he's a little low. That can be looked at either way, viewed however you want to look at it. You can disagree. It doesn't really matter. They were called, right? So you got to go about your business. And you got to find ways to overcome those type of penalties versus a really good defense. And when you can't, it's going to be a long day because third down is going to be particularly stressful. And those second down and longs, they get stressful as well when you're talking about getting back on track and get to the situation where you can run it again, or you got all your options on the table where it's a 50-50 down where you could have really dictate the terms from as far as an offense.
It's our head football coach, Raheem Morris, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, discussing the game yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, an 18-10 loss the Falcons took on opening day. And as they get ready to regroup and take on a really good Philly team in Philadelphia on Monday night, talking to Raheem about some of these things that went on in the game. When you look at the defensive side of the football, I kept saying it, Raheem, during the broadcast. Boy, the defense really holding on the rope. They're really holding on the rope, you know. And you forced six field goals. Five of those field goals were 40-plus yards. So it's not like they were penetrating Falcon territory a great deal. When you looked at that side of the ball, what were some of the things that really you really liked about that? And then maybe looking at potentially some of the things you'd like to adjust, whether it's run defense or whatever you want to do there.
You know, it was when you look at it, it's really situational when you talk about how you want to adjust on defense. Those four-minute stops at the end of the game was probably my most proud moments of those guys to keep us in the fight. I've seen so many people let go of the rope right there, Arch, at the end, and then let people walk in for touchdowns because the game could be out of reach or they can feel that way or get discouraged or the mental weakness set in. And for those guys to really bow up and stop those guys in those three or you can possibly say four drives at the end to get the ball back for our guys to keep it a one possession game, to keep us in that thing and have it give us a chance to win was far and foremost some of the things I liked the best. The next thing I liked about it is just all day standing up on a sudden changes. When you get a fumble snap within your territory going in, you get two interceptions that those guys really stood up and stopped them, particularly one that was run back all the way down to our territory. And to watch those guys really stay up and fight and get off the grass in those situations were the things that you're most proud about with the defense. They stayed with it, got some big-time stops after the turnovers, really stayed with it. In the four-minute drive, when they got the ball back, kept getting it back, giving us a chance. We were not able to get that thing going on offense, but you always got to give those guys credit for giving us a chance to win.
Over 35 minutes on the field defensively, almost 36 minutes, actually. 35, 36 was the time. I want to ask you a couple things. One's maybe a negative one in that how do you win better on third down? Because they look like they had some success on third down. Maybe it was because they stayed in good down and distance situations. And then I want to ask you the positive one about how you rotated and kept guys fresh. But let's talk about third down first of all. How do you fix that defensively?
You like to win every single third down, you know, and a lot of times you want to win those just because you want to get home with the pressure, get to the quarterback. But they had some favorable third downs. They had a couple third and ones. I believe they had three. We stopped one. They got two. I think Justin Fields made a couple with his feet. They'd be able to scramble out of there and get out of harm's way and make those things a short yardage situation so he can go for it on fourth down if they made those attempts. But you're always going to have those kind of issues. I believe they were 41% to be exact, and you want to stop them on every single one. We got to get into the third and longer situations to make those guys have tougher downs. But, you know, they tried to stay on track. They made some easy catchable passes with bootlegs and things of that nature and got some things out there in the flat. But they made their third downs more manageable than us, and they have a little bit more success than we were able to have on third down.
I thought the brilliance of what you and Jimmy were doing was rotating players. And I know your assistant coaches are watching that as well, as to getting different defensive linemen and different linebackers in. Tell me about that, Ra. You had talked about how deep this defense is, and it showed up in the game because you needed them. You needed everybody on that side because of the time they were on the field, and it looked like they stayed as fresh as they could.
When you talk about the rotation, you got to give all those guys on all levels of the defense a lot of credit. We're able to get the six interior D linemen rotated throughout the game, and all those guys better play, and that kept Grady fresh, and that let Grady go out there in those known pass situations and get 1.5 sacks and really be a factor in the game. Also, on the outside linebacker position, you're talking about four guys rotating in there and really playing a bunch of snaps for us, significant snaps, particularly AK playing with a physical violence, and then getting Matt Judon to get in there and do what he does best, to be a part of that sack with Grady. And it really caused some pressure when we had some known passing situations, which there was not very many with these guys. We couldn't get those guys to have to open up because you got to be able to score points in order to be able to do that. Pittsburgh lives in the ugly game, and that's where they live. They love it. They are one of the best at it in the business, and we got to be able to get those guys out of the ugly game in order to win those type of games. The other part was our linebackers on the second level, getting all three of those guys in certain situations and letting those guys play. You're able to really mix those guys up. You know, Caden played every snap, but to be able to get Nate out there, to be able to get Troy out there, and be able to use their significant talents to go out there and win for us or give us a chance to win, I was really fired up with the rotation from our guys to keep us fresh, keep us fast, and keep us locked in throughout the duration of the game.
I certainly thought it was a huge factor in the game. You only allowed three plays of 15 yards or more. I know limiting explosives is a big deal. Pickens made a couple of big-time plays. He's a big-time player, made a couple plays on you, but just three plays. Is there a number in your mind when you start? Obviously, you don't want any explosive plays of 15 yards or more, but is there a number in your mind that's winning football?
You know, we play in the National Football League, and it's hard to actually give you an exact number, but if you said you're going to get three big plays in a game, you feel really good about that. You know, it's just one you want to take away that you say is a miss-up, and that's at the end of the half when you give up the big play to him when he's being double-teamed. And he makes a heck of a catch. Justin makes a heck of a throw. But to give them 3 points there at the end of the half is something we want to be able to take back. The 50-50 ball that he made, you know, you'll take that all day. Those things happen that don't bother you, and you want to take away the 20-yard run that they're able to click off late when they're able to sneak through and grab one big chunk yardage play. But to be honest, keeping those guys at a nice pace, keeping those guys down, I felt really good about that.
All right, we want to talk to Coach Raheem Morris about the third phase of the game, and it was pretty good. Bradley Pinion was outstanding in the game as a punter, averaged 52 yards a kick. Now, the 40 net was probably not necessarily what Marquise Williams was looking for, and I'm sure that'll be something that Coach Raheem Morris and his staff will look on and covering those punts. But when we come back, we'll talk to our head football coach about some of the superlatives about some of the guys that played extremely well, and I'll ask him some questions of some of the areas that he would like to
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Concentrate on, and we're also talking to him about the energy in the building. You guys were off the charts in the building this weekend, so congratulations to you. We're going to win next time we're in that building for you. When we come back, we'll talk to our head football coach, Raheem Morris, right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Back with more of the Coach's Show with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Dave Archer.
Back here on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, with our head football coach Raheem Morris, and just discussed a great deal about the Pittsburgh game, and we want to continue to do that. I want to talk about the third phase of the game, Rob. Before we get to that, though, the Dirty Bird Nest in that one corner, I know they're across the field from you, and the rest of the building, really outstanding. A lot of energy in the building.
You know, when you came out, I was really excited because I had never saw the Dirty Bird's Nest in action. And coming back from the hiatus that we had and looking up there, it was something that was a sight of beauty. I watched them walk in, all white flags. They look great. It looks good. We had great energy, particularly in an opening drive when we're moving the ball down the field, running the ball with Bijan, getting a completion to Drake, getting one to Mooney as we moved down the field. And, you know, unfortunately got stalled to get three, but it was live. It was loud. It was exactly what you wanted. It was the atmosphere that you wanted. And it was created by our fans. And I thought that was outstanding.
Yeah, no question about it. And I know this team wants to make more plays on the field to generate more and more energy in that building. And your next opportunity to be on a Sunday night with Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl champs come to town here in about 2 weeks. So get ready for that one. So the energy was great. Congratulations to you guys that were there. Punt coverage. Tell me about Bradley Pinion. Pinion pounded the ball yesterday. Maybe is there ability to outkick your coverage because he hit some big ones and they got a couple returns on you. Not big ones, but significant returns.
So he certainly flipped the field.
Yeah.
And most of the yard was running sideways. But when you flip the field like he did, you always love that, right? Do you want a little bit better placement of some of the balls? Want a more outside the edge so you can get more coverage down there and you can really help your guys out a little bit more? Yes. But that's all directed together, right? But we did a great job flipping the field. Our guys did a great job getting down the field. A couple of out-leveraged players, maybe because of the kick, but we got to make those tackles and keep the leverage. We got to go down there and make those tackles. Malone did a great job of still being a part of it and doing what he does best, going out there making tackles. But I was pretty pleased with our ability to flip the field by Pinion and doing some of the great things in decision-making, actually on the other side of that, on the flip side. But it was really good.
Coach, when you look at another piece of it, was your return game. And Ray Ray had some pretty good kickoff returns. Tell me about that, the new dynamic kickoff and kind of the nuances of that. I know everybody's still trying to feel that out a little bit, but you guys got out up over the, I think, over the 30-yard line on two returns.
I think we did a nice job making decisions, and I think you learn more about what not to do from everybody else as opposed to what to do. And I believe our guys will continue to grow, and we'll continue to figure out different schemes, and this thing will continue to be a trending process for all of us, right? And I'm really pleased that the play is back in the game. It did create some excitement. It got a chance to get a dynamic player like Ray Ray some touches. And then also our return game with Avery, you know, him being a punt returner. He got two pretty exciting returns for us for himself, getting one back out to the 50. We got a cash in on that one. That was one that you want to open up and be able to take advantage of and some of those type of things. But I was pretty pleased with those guys' decision-making and what they were able to do when they went out there.
Yeah, I thought Avery was out the box on that last kick. He got a really good sideline return right along the Falcons' sideline. It looked like he may go, but it was one that flipped the field, certainly from an offensive standpoint. All right, I want to ask you about some players in particular. This is a team game, and it's the ultimate team game, but there are guys that stick out. And one of the guys that's going to join me in our player spotlight today, Ray Ray McLeod. I thought Ray did did pretty much what you wanted him to do, but came up with a circus catch on a ball that was kind of tipped, or Kirk was hit in the pocket and the ball was in the air and looked like there were five Steelers that had a chance and we went and got it. Tell me about one of the newest Falcons and Ray McCloud and what he brought to the table.
You're talking about the ultimate heart guy. You know, this ball gets tipped up in the air. I think his elbow gets hit. Kirk, the ball goes up in the air and it's sitting up in the air with a bunch of people looking at it and tracking it. And he just went up there regardless of any circumstances of his body, no care in the world, jumped up and came down with a big catch for us. And, like, that's Ray Ray. And he is tough. He's physical. He's smart. He's dynamic. He has so many different roles for us. He's one of the guys that had a lot of success in the game on offense, one of the few. And I was really pleased with how he played. And we got to find more ways to let him be dynamic with the ball in his hand, because he's that.
One of those guys that was dynamic for you was Bijan Robinson. Bijan, I think, got 111 total yards in the game, both catching the football and running the football. Now, he didn't catch any balls in the second half, I don't think. And he had five receptions the first half, but still ran the ball for 68 yards and a total of 111 yards. Kind of a workhorse moment for him. I think that Tyler carried it only three times in the game. Was that kind of the split you were looking for? Or was it because you were limited play-wise, maybe you didn't get to the number you wanted?
You know, Bijan is absolutely a beast, and we hold him to a very high standard, and we want him to have even more than he had yesterday, maybe some more explosive plays, more receptions, and you want to be able to get those things going. But in order to get the stuff done with Tyler, we got to stay on track and we got to keep those drives going so we can now sub and put Tyler out there so we can really sing you that two-headed monster that we do have. But when you're going out there and you're getting to get back on track situations in those long third downs and you're getting off the grass, you got to give credit where it's due. And the Pittsburgh defense in that second half, they were able to keep us off balance and they were to keep us off track, and they did a nice job of really shutting us down so we couldn't get into the natural rhythm that you want to get to from an offense standpoint.
Raheem, you've been in this game a long time. Even though you're still a young man, you've been around this game a long time. Guys coming off of injury, we've got a couple of them on this team. One of them that stood up like nobody's business, you've already mentioned him, Grady Jarrett. Maybe the heart and soul of this football team, how hard he worked in the offseason. How satisfying was it for you, first of all, just from a personal standpoint, because I know you got a great relationship with Grady and his family, for him to rise up like that, but also what he contributed to the team this weekend?
You know, he talked about the significance of coming off the injury, but I was able to share a moment with his mom before the game and how excited she was to go watch her son play again and how excited he was to go out there and be with his guys again. And he absolutely took advantage of his calling. He went out there and he played just about as well as you can play coming off of the injury. And it was a couple guys like that. You know, Avery Williams, no different. And some of those type of guys that went out there and actually played well coming off these injuries. So I was really excited for those guys. I was really pleased with the way they played. Troy, all those guys. Man, it's about this team, right? And this team will continue to get better and they will grow together. But for Grady to do that, man, that's always special and that's always touching to this community, because what he means to the Atlanta community.
We saw it in practice. The guy's a sideline to sideline player, and I told whoever I can tell that I thought he's destined for a monster season. He had a good year last year. Caden Ellis, your inside linebacker, his versatility to run sideline to sideline, to blitz, to cover. He didn't disappoint. 9 tackles yesterday in a game, direct in traffic. What'd you think of your linebacker?
You know, our green dot man, Caden Ellis, man, he went out there and controlled the situation. He kept us on track. He kept us fighting. I mean, he kept the guys together. He kept a steady presence for us from the mental toughness standpoint of going out there and getting stops, not blinking. That's all you can really ask from your leader, man. He's one of those guys that is absolutely just a guy that's a core part, staple of what we do and how we want to do it. And he's everything that he believes. He just comes out and plays that way all the time.
Just a couple of guys that I wanted to pick out, and I'll do that throughout the season with Coach Morris. We'll pick out some players, or I'll pick out some players and kind of get a grade on where those guys are, a feel for where those guys are, and those are just a few guys that stepped up big time. Mentioned Bradley Pinion, monster day for him. 4 punts, 52.5-yard average for Pinion. You talk about making an influence in the game from a punting standpoint. Raheem, I wanted to jump into maybe some questions for you. Okay, one of the questions that'll come up is about protection, and I know you've already alluded to that. You had 2 sacks. You had a couple of turnovers that were probably forced because of the pocket being collapsed. Are these easy fixes? I mean, nothing's easy in this game, but you've got a worker bee group led by Coach Ledford in that offensive line room, and it's not just them. It's backs and tight ends as well.
You know, it's never easy when you're talking about playing against a defense like that, right? So you're never going to say it's easy. You don't don't want to take that for granted. But these guys, they will bounce back like no other, because I understand that their toughness is about and what they're made of. You mentioned their coach and how he breathes and how he goes about his business, but it is all of us. We're all tied in this thing together. It's up to the quarterback to get the ball out of his hand. It's up to our chippers and our people that's in alignment to help those guys to make sure they execute the job the right way. And those guys got to stand up and play better. Like, and we will always be transparent and clear and open and honest with each other, and when we all got to play better. And our group up front wants to play better than that. Our guys that's responsible to helping those guys play better than that want to play better than that, and we want to coach better than that, to be quite honest. So you gotta go out there and get better every single week. There's a nice learning experience for us all, and that's something that we can definitely improve on.
You're going to get a pretty good guy that's going to run a rock at you this weekend, and it's an offensive line that, even though Kelsey's out of that center position, are pretty respected. You got a quarterback that can move, 137 yards rushing, but when you look at that, it's a little bit disguised the fact you had a couple of quarterback runs there that influenced the number. 3.3 yards a carry, what sticks out to me. That's winning football. But when you think about the run defense and what you'd like to do there with what you're getting ready to face this weekend, are those tweaks things that you can take care of, maybe some run fits that you didn't see in this game that necessarily can happen this next weekend?
You know, we really did a good job on the run fits, other than one run at 20 yard, I was talked about breaking out. But for the most part, when you hold those guys, I think it was 41 carries. I believe it was, like you said, a 3.3 average. You really feel good about that. A couple of the scrambles that broke out with Justin Fields, he's always going to create a couple plays. I think he rushed for about 57 yards up there, 100 yards. So when that happens, you got to find a way to bottle that down, keep it in play, and keep it in perspective at the same time with the amount of attempts that you get too. That average is important. Getting off the grass is important. And we can get those guys some longer third downs by eliminating some of those plays. That would be ideal for us when it comes to the running game. So we'll find a way to go stop that thing and bottle it up a little bit more and keep it even lower for us, and that'll work it out in our favor.
All right, one more for you. I know you'd like to have some more explosives on the offensive side of the football, and there are a myriad of reasons why that necessarily didn't come together. And you had three plays of 15 yards or more, and you only had one play of 20 yards. It was right at 20 yards. So explosives, this is an offense that's supposed to be built, or is built on some explosive plays. It makes it a little bit easier. Putting 10 and 12 plays together to move against the defense in this league is not easy to do. How do you generate more explosives?
You know, we got to go out to protect our quarterback. It's number one. And then we got to find ways and vision runners that can get out there and find those holes and make those plays. And we definitely got one. They have one coming up this week. And our guy will find a way to make those things correctable and make them better. And I got all the confidence in the world that our guys will go out there and execute those things this week.
Okay, tell me about the Philadelphia Eagles real quickly. Get a quick thumbnail. I know you guys are just not just now diving in, but preliminary dive in as you start to get your game plan ready. Got an extra day to get ready this week, so you can take a little bit more time and dialing in on the Eagles. But tell me what you see when you see the Philadelphia Eagles on tape.
You know, obviously they got two new coordinators that bring a lot of experience and a lot of football, a lot of time in this league, and Kellen, and then you got on the defense side of the ball one of the greats, and we got to go figure out ways to beat this team. And they got some really great players when it comes to offense and defense, and particularly on the D-line, which presents another challenge for us, and particularly at that receiver position, which presents all the challenges in the world for us. When you're talking about those three guys, and then we already mentioned Saquon and what he's able to do and how dynamic he is, and, you know, I can't remember if Jalen won the MVP or not, but he certainly was up for it a couple years ago, if not every time he goes out in the football field, because he's such a good player and he is a winner. And he's been a winner everywhere he's been. So we got to go out there and really contain these guys and get the ball back. And we got to go out on the offense and bounce back. And on special teams, we got to maintain and find a way to be the winning edge.
All right. One game out of 17 is in the books. It did not go the Falcons' way, but there are 16 more opportunities. Ryan, I know this fan base is starving to win. You've talked about it in all the things leading up to the season. If you could throw a message out there to that fan base and think about what you want them to kind of hang their hat on as they get ready for the Eagles and then the Chiefs and then the Saints and whoever else comes in this building, what would you like to say to them?
You know, we're close, and we'll get better and better every single week, and that's the promise that we'll make to our fan base at all times. And these guys are workers. They'll come in here and they'll work, and they will get better, and they'll be prepared for the Philadelphia Eagles coming up this week.
There you go. Raheem Morris, our head football coach here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take that one to the bank. Raheem will have these guys ready to play on a Monday night. We'll be back with our player spotlight. Ray Ray McLeod joins me right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
time for the player of the game on the Coach's Show. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Back here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, this is the Coach's Show, but it's time for the player spotlight. We got the spotlight shining on Ray-Ray McLeod III. Ray-Ray, one of the newest Falcons, came in a free agent deal, and it almost feels like he was destined to be here because this offense fits him. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But Ray, we want to jump into a little bit about what happened yesterday. I know it didn't go out the way you guys wanted it to. Tell me a little bit about, you just got through out of the meetings, got through watching tape. Tell me what you guys saw.
It's never as bad as it seemed, but it's also not as good as it seems sometimes too. You know, we did everything we could on our end. I mean, as the Falcons, you know, we prepared, we did everything, but you know, it's football, it's NFL. Still is their NFL team. The NFL players over there have great players over there, and they made more plays than we did. And that's just part of the game. Look, you go back to the drawing board, come together as a team, which that's the team that's going in, team that know how to go through these situations and bounce back. I think that's the biggest thing right now is bouncing back, getting back to hit that reset button, you know, and just going back to Monday night and just showing up.
It seemed like you guys got off to a really good start. I mean, the offense really was clicking early on. In fact, the whole first half was really a pretty good half. You had, and you led the team in receiving yards, 4 catches, 52 yards yesterday, including a circus grab down the middle where it looked like there was about 4 or 5 Steelers that had a chance for it, and you reeled it in. That catch keyed the drive that actually led to Kyle Pitts' 12-yard touchdown reception. Tell me about what was going on in the first half that was really clicking for you.
Execution. I mean, we were executing well. Second half we came out, we executed a few times, not enough to win the game. And I think the Steelers executed enough to win the game. And they came out with the W. Like I said, it's NFL. We even had a chance to win the game at the end. Had a big penalty, and that nose hurt you.
Yeah, the penalties, I think, hurt you guys a little bit in the second, or a lot of bit in the second half. Didn't quite have the traction in the first half. 200 yards about in the first half, limited in the second half. And some of that had to do with penalties. Some of that had to be long yardage, third down, long yardage situations. So, obviously, regroup and get ready for Philly. We'll ask you about Philly here in just a little bit. You haven't had a chance to study any tape on them, but I know you know there's a bunch of Georgia Bulldogs up there, and it'll be Clemson versus Georgia. We'll get into that one a little bit. Why was this a good fit for you? Because it almost feels like the Falcons handpicked you. Now, you had to put a deal together. You guys had to come to an agreement on a contract. You could have gone other places. Why was this such a good fit for you?
I think two reasons. Because, well, one, because I'm back south. I'm from Florida, but this is the closest to Florida I was going to get. And I didn't want to be in Florida, but I want to be like away, but close. So my family could see me play. They really, when I was in San Fran, and my two brothers play college ball, so it was hard for them to always move around. But now my brother's 40 minutes away. Go there, come here Sunday. Even in Pittsburgh, it was tough getting flights all the time. But now that I'm in Atlanta, it just feels right, you know. Besides that part of my family, I mean, me having a familiar face from the Steelers with Ike Hilliard, him coaching me there, was a situation I thought about when I was picking coming to Atlanta. And then Raheem was actually my first coach during Pro Day that coached me and Deion Kane.
Okay.
And put us through a workout, receivers workout. And this is one of the teams I was going to come to eventually with Ra. And circling back now, he's the head coach of Atlanta, and I'm in Atlanta as a receiver. So God works mysterious ways, and I think it was the right fit for me in my heart.
Yeah, no question about it. And think about that. I mean, Ike Hilliard, anybody doesn't remember Ike Hilliard, remember him at Florida and then what he was able to do in the National Football League. And now coaching these guys here with the Atlanta Falcons, just a nice fit there. Tell me about the crowd yesterday. I know you hadn't played in that stadium. You'd been there for a preseason game, but there wasn't anybody there. But when you think about that crowd and what was going on, a lot of Steeler fans, but there are a whole bunch of Falcon fans. That's as much energy. I've been doing the games for 20 years. That's as much energy on an opening day as I've seen in the building. A lot of people excited about this football team. Tell me about the energy in the building and the fan base.
They have a lot to be excited about, man. Our team, I mean, the scoreboard obviously don't – everybody, oh, y'all lost, but the inside this building here, like, we know what we got. And it's like, we got an exciting team. So I understand, like, yesterday what I seen was like a crowd ready to win. And we just got to put that in their hands and give it to them. And that'll come, you know. And like I said, that's that even the Steelers, they travel well. It was just, it was good. Just, it was just good energy everywhere. You know, me playing from over there, I knew they traveled well. So it was good to see them. It was rocking.
Yeah, it really was. Had the banners flying, and I think that the fans are excited. We'll have to get that crank back up when Kansas City comes down here in a couple weekends. Tell me about Pittsburgh. A lot of times, all of us have played in the league. Sometimes, you know, we don't all necessarily get a chance to be Grady Jarrett and stay with the same team their whole career. You're going to go to some other teams. You played in Pittsburgh. One of your best seasons in the National Football League was in Pittsburgh. In fact, you led the National Football League in return yards, punt return yards there. Had a nice year as a receiver there as well in 21. Tell me about playing a former team. Is there anything to that? I mean, have you been removed from them far enough to where it's not a big deal?
I wouldn't say removed from them because, like, Coach T, I would say, besides my Lord and Savior, got me where I'm at mentally. Just I was coming out of a mental space from when I was in Buffalo going into Pittsburgh, and Coach T is the one that came and got me off my couch and got me where I need to be at mentally, and helped me get where I'm at now, be able to play in this offense, be able to play free. So it's always good to play against friends or family, and that's how I look at Coach T, like, that's like family. Danny Smith, everybody over there, you know, Minka, like, it's just, I knew Minka since we was in high school, so it's always fun playing against close ones, so... Yeah.
Yeah. Player spotlight here on the Coach's Show. Ray McLeod III is our guest here, one of our newer Falcons and a guy that led the team in receiving yards yesterday. Four grabs for 52 yards, including the one I described a little bit ago. Big time grab, one handed stab over the middle in the middle of Steeler players that helped lead to the only touchdown scored in the game. Let's talk about up the road. You went to school up the road about 2 hours, Clemson. Lot to love about that. Your Clemson career was very decorated. Over 127 receptions, over 1,300 yards, four touchdowns there. You carried the football as a runner, over 100 yards rushing. Outstanding return guy, returned one for a touchdown, but averaged nine. It's weird because you averaged 9.7 yards a return, which is almost a first down every time you touched the ball on a punt return. You've done the same thing in the NFL. It's almost like exactly the same number. But tell me about going to Clemson. You won a national championship as a sophomore. What's that like? Ray Ray to go win the whole thing?
It's everything, you know, and that's all I knew actually just growing up. And going there, it was like, it was the same, you know. Deshaun Watson's class came in and they kind of set the tone, got us to the door, and I think my class came in and we blew down the door. And that's what Christian Wilkins, me, Cleve Farrell, Deion Kane, I think who else came in with us. I can keep on going, but those names, yeah. I know that people probably jump out their seat for. But yeah, and when we got there as freshmen, I think we played at Bama in Arizona our freshman year. They beat us in a shootout, like 45-40 or something like that. I forget the exact score. But we had a chip on our shoulder, and, you know, we came back our sophomore years and played in my hometown, Tampa. And it was nothing like winning at home. And just having all your family there and playing in another national championship against a team that beat you last year.
Yeah.
So for me, it was always big. That's always the goal, to win, win the big one, and that's a blessing.
Tell me about the Tigers now. So Georgia's kind of made that step into where you guys were in the middle teens to late teens, winning a couple national championships there, being involved in the playoff every year. Georgia stepped into that space a little bit now. I know there's a huge rivalry between those two schools, not very far apart. But tell me about that, and how does Dabo get the Tigers back where they need to be?
He need to go find another 2015 class.
I mean, it's Ray McLeod III and everybody else, right?
Nah, we had 31 of us, man. We was loaded. But yeah, definitely, man. It all comes from the culture built. The players gonna have to step up too and build that culture, because we also had to. We hung out more than the coaches hung out with us. They coach us, but we together every day building the camaraderie, chemistry, and going out there and playing with each other. So players got to come together and do that too. But I think Coach Sweeney got it in good hands. He just got to bring the right people in, which I think he's doing, and it's all coming together over there. My little brother's actually playing there now, so I think they're going to be all right.
Yeah, so where I want to go with you next is talk a little bit about your brothers. You got two brothers that are good players now, and let's start with the second in the McLeod family. You're the oldest. Jordan is number two, and Jordan's bounced around a little bit, but had a monster season a year ago at James Madison, Sun Belt Player of the Year, and now finds himself at Texas State. Quarterback, tell me about it.
He's doing great, man. He's probably had more run-ins than any young quarterback I've been around, just with injuries, and that's one of the reasons why he bounced around with schools. And, you know, the portal is, and everybody, coaches leave, you leave, so it's like that also had a part of it. But even besides the Sun Belt Player of the Year, he started as a freshman. He had a great year at USF, had a good year after that at USF, and I think people forget that because he had that such a good year at JMU. But he's been doing it everywhere he's went. It's just a matter of time where people put their eyes on him, you know. But for him, he's battled so much. I know he's ready for whatever mentally. Yeah. He'll have his opportunity to be playing on Sundays soon.
Okay,
maybe on the same team one day, you know.
that'd be cool.
But yeah, man, he inspired me every day. So.
Yeah, Jordan McLeod, quarterback now at Texas State, the Bobcats. They get the Sun Belt Player of the Year through for almost 3,700 yards and 35 touchdowns a year ago at James Madison University. And your younger brother, you mentioned him, he's a redshirt sophomore at Clemson. Kobe, he's a little bit bigger than you. A little bit bigger than you?
Yeah, bigger than me, including my little sister. My little sister, she lit too. But no, Kobe, he probably the most inspiring of the bunch.
Okay.
I would say that because he's a late bloomer, and just he just took off, and like when he took off, it's he came off a launch pad, you know, and he is where he is now. He actually is out for the season now. I hurt his knee last game, but he's blessed. He's gonna be a first 2 day kid, I think. So
wow. Okay.
He has that type of energy, that type of engine, sideline to sideline, can run. Can go play outside, play nickel corner, you know, and play safety and play in the box. So he has a different toolbox a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the McLeod family has that toolbox because that's where you play. You play all
the best one's the girl. One of the best ones the girl.
Okay.
She just turned 13 a few days ago, but she's when she was 12, she did 14U and won Junior Olympics MVP as a 12-year-old. And so she's doing the Junior Olympics things right now, and she can't tell her nothing right now. She I tell her in the house it's me, then her, and then the rest of everybody else. She's my deuce. I call her deuce.
Okay.
So, yeah, I call her deuce.
All right. Well, there's the McLeod family. I just want to get you to – it's an opportunity to get to know Ray McLeod and his family and what he's all about. And a guy that's got tremendous stick-to-itiveness, a guy that can play all over the field for the Falcons. I want to ask you about Philly a little bit, and I know you haven't seen a lot of tape yet on them. A lot of Georgia guys, Georgia North, and we got Clemson South down here with the Clemson guy. Tell me about that and just superficially what you know about Philly and what's it going to be like for you to play on Monday night?
Well, playing them the last 2 years, been at the 49ers. Okay. I played them always in the postseason, I think.
So you might know them better than most people do.
Yeah, not even postseason. I played them in big regular season games, whatever. But they're always big games while I was over there playing, but which is every game is a big game. It's Monday night, everybody watching, but they're gonna bring their best. They're going to come play hard. They fly into the ball. They're a great team. You got to bring your A game. They got a great offense, so we got to match the tempo of what they doing, and same thing with the defense. You know, we got to set the tone early and keep that foot on their neck early and go out there and execute. I think that's going to be the big thing for us this week's execution.
A lot of people will talk about how you guys didn't play a lot in the preseason. I know you guys had really good practices. I got a chance to be out here and watch them. They were physical. It's not the game. So how quickly do you feel like – it looked like you guys got up to speed pretty quickly because of that opening drive. But mm-hmm. Is there anything to that? I mean, a lot of people want to harp on, well, they didn't play in the preseason, so they started out a little slow.
They always going to find something to say. You know, that has nothing to do with it. We've been playing – all of us have been playing football since we were little kids. In high school, you got a kickoff classic. That's game one. It ain't none of that. So that's just an excuse. You go out there, still got to play ball and win the game. And like I said, it's about execution. That comes with time. It comes with chemistry. Our starting quarterback just came off of injury mm-hmm. last year. So obviously he's doing. Let's calm it down. And the chemistry will come. The way we practice, the chemistry definitely comes. So we spend a lot of time together in meetings, on the field, after practice. So it'll come. It's just like I said, it's the NFL. every Sunday you got to come to play. You can get beat any given Sunday, and be prepared every week.
Get ready. This guy's going to make a ton of plays. Made some yesterday, and there's going to be a lot more in the tank. Still, you're one of those guys that I remember. There were certain players I remember playing. There were certain guys that didn't lose their speed when they put their pads on. And you were a 4.4 guy, I guess, maybe even 4.3. But you don't lose the speed when you put the pads on. How does that happen? Just God given ability.
I would say, man, I think the fearlessness.
Okay.
I'm like, that's not a kid. I think my son's like that. He jump off everything on the counter. I can't fall asleep when he run. I gotta put him to sleep first, and then I can hang out. But he willing to do anything, and that's the thing. That's where it comes from, you know. But I think that's just an effort, man, a will thing. It's inside. It ain't really something you can teach, you know? But. That's a God-given thing, you know.
Yeah. So. Okay. Is he number four? Is it Ray McLeod the fourth?
He's Ray McLeod the fourth.
There you go.
It was crazy. I'd rather do that than like when I probably my worst fear ever was probably being on the mound pitching.
Really? Okay. Could you bring it? Were you 90 mile an hour fast?
Yeah, but yeah.
You didn't want their ball.
The people I was playing with, they was putting them over the fence a few times. Like it was taking my confidence. But that's probably the only thing I ever like was like. I was fearless about everything, but that's one thing I feel like they didn't get all of me, you know? But other than that in the pool, I learned how to swim real late, so.
Okay. Well, we're not going to put you in the pool.
I swim now. We'll swim now. I go in the water now. It can't beat me now, but before, you kind of pay me to go next to no water.
Okay. Well, you know what? The only water we're going to get you into is that water up at the link when you go against the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. Go tear them up, man. Thanks for your time, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. God bless.
There he is, Ray McLeod III, right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. More to follow right here on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 99 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.